Okay, so this is number 5 of the Only Music Podcast. My name is Staffan, and I'm with
Luis.
And today we are going to divide the podcast, as always, into 3 sections: news, what we've been listening to, and we're going to end up with a discussion. I don't think we're going to reveal what we're going to discuss.
Or you might just stop listening, so stay with us, definitely.
I think we should begin with the new Chemical Brothers single. Got a new album on the way.
Yeah.
Born in the Echoes. They are going to visit most of the festivals this summer.
Yeah.
I saw them at their last tour. I mean, they are basically definition of two guys standing with two laptops and hitting play. Yeah. It's kind of boring. But they always have nice visual effects, not effects, but a visual media
backdrops
to, yeah, exactly,
stuff, yeah,
combine the, yeah, music with.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I'm kind of like, you know, when it comes to Chemical Brothers, they can do whatever. I've seen them so many times and I still love what they do. You know, the music is brilliant. So that's all that counts here, I think. You know,
yeah.
They know how to entertain, how to build up, how to kind of musically take you on the journey with their live shows.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, with every Chemical Brothers record, there's always guaranteed to be 3 or 4 great tracks.
Absolutely. And sometimes you feel so deserted.
Featured artists.
Yeah.
So we got Saint Vincent.
Yes.
And
brilliant.
We got Beck.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Q-Tip.
Brilliant.
That's good.
Yeah.
And we are gonna see this album in June.
We're gonna see this album in June, and we have got Ali Love, who is my good old protege. I have to put in a word for him because
okay.
I love him. He was on had a big hit with in 2007. Do It Again.
Do It Again.
And I actually signed him after that, and he was on Justice's second album, and he's been throwing out dance hits throughout, and now he's back with Chemical Brothers again. I think I'm sure the track's gonna be brilliant. He's brilliant. Kate Le Bon, brilliant. UK act, amazing. Singer-songwriter primarily. I think she's perfect to have on here as well, alongside St. Vincent and Beck and Q-Tip. It's just great featurings. Brilliant. I love this. I can't wait to hear the album.
Then we're going to move on to, well, we got a snippet of a new Lana Del Rey track. So it's a song called Life is Beautiful. I'm excited about the third album from Lana Del Rey. I'm curious to see how she's gonna turn her persona, if she's gonna do something with it. The submissive, the 50s glorification.
Okay. Housewife. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's hope she does something, because she is so boring, honestly. I'm sure she does somewhat good tracks or whatever, but the whole persona, the whole project, everything bores me to tears. Please do something interesting.
Did you listen to the previous album?
Of course, absolutely.
Nothing,
it was like
the
biggest PR hit, whatever, when it came out, and it was meant to be this cool project made in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the minute you put play you hear is not an embasement.
You're talking about the first album.
First album, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, it's kind of okay tunes. It's, listen, some of the tunes are really great. I like Bel Air, for example. Mm-hmm. There's some tunes I like, but, you know, I am against the whole kind of persona, the whole 1950s submissive. That's not where we're at as women today. Come on, give us something. Give us something to...
Yeah, it's difficult to judge Lana Del Rey. It's not clear-cut if it is a persona or if it is...
Her.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what you want to know. You want to know with the artist that you would like to believe that they're singing from, like, honesty, that it all comes out, like, you know, you knew when you saw Kurt Cobain, you knew, okay, we got honesty, this is what they're talking from their own experiences, etc. I mean, we can do plenty of ideas and other artists that we know are true to what they're singing, etc. With Lana Del Rey, you have no clue. That's my problem. I don't know.
Let's move on. We got new Div. D-I-I-V. This is typical American indie.
Even their,
Captured Tracks,
that's what they're on, right? That New York, Brooklyn-based company, yeah.
I even got more excited about the new Best Coast album, which says something.
that's scary.
Yeah.
Little shitheads, I'm sorry to say, they should not be allowed to Twitter or use any fucking social media. That's all I've got to say, you know? And I leave it as that. I'm really not interested in
You gotta give us something. What's up?
No, it wasn't the drummer. Was it the guitarist? Some idiot in the band that managed to go out on some, I don't know what social media he managed to go out and just be extremely racist, misogynist, sexist, whatever. It's like, come on, guys. You're little shitheads from Brooklyn or wherever they are, you know. Obviously had it quite easy in their lives. You know, I just feel like, God, boring. Blah.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I like this. So somewhere in somehow it leaks out that David Bowie likes the
English chanteurs.
The Metallica and Lou Reed album Lulu, which everyone hated.
The best part is you kind of write it in like it says Lulu. Now, is it the album or is it the artist we're talking about? You have no idea. I kind of keep thinking, you must have, when I saw the script,
okay.
I thought, oh, you must have been writing in the artist. That's why I got really confused. I love it. That's great. Continue. Yeah. Everybody wants it or has it or holds it, but as for me, I doubt it.
Love, 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 love. So, Lulu, Metallica,
absolutely.
The worst record of the year in 2012 or
something like that. Yeah,
the best quote ever. I think every journalist competed to just slam this record as
hard
as possible.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was a
Consequence
one.
Of Sound.
Yeah,
has a quote which says, "Your dad's drunk friend reciting his self-panned erotica over a melting Metallica's Reload cassette."
That is tough, man. That's hard. Okay.
And then
maybe we should...
No, but that's the funny thing, because now everyone writes about, okay, David Bowie found something in Lulu. That's very interesting.
Pitchfork has
something.
What are we missing?
What are we missing? Let's go back to Lulu and see if there's something there, which is so funny.
Maybe there is, you know. If you can't put a butterfly in a jar, if violence marks your final
hour, if you make others feel like jam. And finally, we got a new track from Health. I don't know if you're familiar with Health.
No, I'm not actually. I have to check this out.
Yeah, you see there's definitely some people, interesting people surrounding health. They got help from the Hacks and Cloak, Mars Volta's engineering, Kanye West engineer, Andrew Dawson.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what you said, that's right.
Unfortunately, the first single is a guy puking in slow motion for like 2 minutes. I kid you not.
The video, basically.
Yeah. And Noisy.
Yeah.
Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Oh, they love that stuff that they just posted up. Perfect for them. Okay, so let's get on to what we've been listening to. I've had the unfortunate accident. I've been listening to the new Blur album, which got 8 out of 10 in NME.
Yes, and I saw my French friends at Les Inrecuptibles and all the big magazines as well going, this is brilliant.
This
so
is brilliant.
I must be missing something here, you know.
I've tried, I really tried.
Here comes the ice cream man bouncing up the hill.
Like I said before, Damon Albarn, he's a boring guy. But he's somehow, he has convinced the public that he is not. Because he's Gorillaz, he's Herculean, he's
Africa
Blur.
Express.
Yeah, he made the African record as well. So he's a cool, hip dude. And he's like a sophisticated version of Oasis or something. But it's so bad. Oh yeah, we got the rumor about Oasis reunion as well.
Oh yeah.
Next year.
Oh god, yeah. But I was kind of excited. I was really excited.
Why? It's too early.
No. It's never too early for Oasis.
I want Liam solo record just to see.
No, don't do that to him.
I also read that Noel is running out of money, so
The positive note on Noel is that his, like, the UK vinyl chart that we mentioned last week is now being top. Number one spot and number two spot is by Noah Gallagher and the High Flying Birds. Yeah, kind of
good.
Good.
I also listened to remember the Danish band Mew?
Oh yeah, of course.
That they are horribly pretentious. They are good at writing pop music, but it's like they don't want to. They want to be something else. I remember, I think it was the previous album, the first track on that album was a track that you were supposed to, you could listen to it backwards.
Oh yeah, okay.
As well,
that's a kind of...
And they both sucked the verse.
Both versions sucked.
Yeah. Horrible idea.
And Nick, you've been listening to someone else as well.
No, you got.
Shall I go first? Okay.
Please go first.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to start out with Tarantula Waltz.
What's this?
Newly signed artist from Sweden who's been produced by the Tallest Man on Earth, which is kind of folk music, American folk music, slightly, I would say, influenced by American folk music.
Life will burn your curls, and life will bleach your blue eyes. You must remember, child, that the storm will always obey. You just wait, you just wait, you just wait. The light on at night. Oh, little.
get on with your please present your second track.
Okay,
well.
Second track. I just have to play this because it made me so happy. Crazy P is a disco party outfit from London. They are working on a new album. I just heard that's going to come soon, which I'm really excited about. And this tune, Like a Fool, was played the other day by Chris Coco at his Melodica show. And I just love this tune. It's brilliant. It just, yeah, spring is in the air. Summer is in the air.
Oh, nice. So I gotta make up for my bashing of Brian Wilson, I got an artist, Bob Lind. You knew who this guy was.
Absolutely, but you know, I work a lot with singer-songwriters, and I worked a lot with American kind of singer-songwriters, etc. So Bob Lind is a big name amongst the community.
He had a one-hit wonder.
Yeah,
Both UK and US.
Absolutely.
Elusive Butterfly was the track, and I think a lot of his work has been covered. I think by Cher and
Sonny and Cher, I remember
Sonny
as well.
Cher.
Yeah, and that's Cher, true. I think both of them, and who else? There was so many. There's plenty. I'd say hundreds of artists who have covered their track, his tracks.
But then he kind of disappeared, and he disappeared for a reason. He was notoriously difficult to work with. Pulp from the UK, the Britpop band, they named a track after him. Bob Lind, The Only Way Is Down. So what I got here is his follow-up album to the hit album. This one is called Since There Were Circles. I think a record company called Mapache Records, they reissued it and got Bob to add his notes, sleeve notes, which is always interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, an artist reflecting honestly about their work several years later, that always intrigues me. I think it was U2's Bono who actually said that you need 2 years as an artist after your album release to really get a perspective on what your reaction, how good your work were, essentially.
Of course, it was Bono, yeah.
He started right after his hit. He started having problems with just drugs and alcohol. But he managed to scrap some songs together. And he worked with a producer and a string arranger in LA. He was apparently still very deep into his alcohol and drug abuse. So in the notes, he describes himself as insecure, not trusting either the producer or the string arranger. He describes the session as a war zone. Every idea the producer came up with, he just shut down and said, no, I want it my way. I think there's a note here which says, just find it here. He says, as we were working through the song, which is called Theme from Music Box, Jimmy, the producer, approached me about the tag. He said, what if we fade into an orchestral finale and take it out with just a woodwinds and strings and with some rich, dark, harmonic coloring, he asked me. I told him the idea was vain and self-indulgent. I accused him of wanting to show off. Who knows what other stupid shit I said. But he persisted, and I said, let me just try it, listen to it, and if you don't like it, scrap it. And reluctantly, I agreed. When I heard it, it brought tears to my eyes. The sheer beauty of that ending still remains for me one of the highlights of the album. But at the session, he just nodded and told him, okay, it's all right. I also want to, this is an album which is, it's a cohesive work. It's not an album which has a strong single or a strong track per se.
Which, you know, well.
But I really
folk,
recommend.
American folk music normally is not based on that.
Exactly, you know, yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So please, I'm going to present one more song, but please check the album out. It's available on Spotify. And it's available on vinyl from these lovely guys, Mepachi Records. So, go.
I am on my way to daylight. I am on my way. Keep it open. Keep it bright. The tangled wispy worries of another night. In my freely fashioned destiny, I search the night for seas of light to sail my lofty dreams to the sunny virgin beaches of my city scenes. City scenes.
What we're going to discuss, females in the music industry, and we're going to start in the 90s. That is when I grew up and started listening to not just grunge, but I started to listen to a lot of music, and I feel that I matured as a, well, listening, just listening to music,
yeah.
Not as a person.
Yeah.
But I'm looking here, in 96, we in Sweden, we were bombarded with UK Oasis, Blur, the Britpop scene hadn't died, we got all the leftovers, we didn't get anything from the US, apart from MTV.
Yeah.
MTV was our only savior, quote-unquote, and I'm looking here, 96,
yeah.
Luis. Please give me some information here, because top 100 singles in 96, and I'm seeing a lot of women.
Yeah.
And mostly women.
Yeah.
So let's start here at number 2, Mariah Carey. She's, well, she's a woman.
She was a woman married to the head of Sony, who built her career. He was also the manager who built her career. She was a product of the music industry and the men in the music industry.
She married that guy,
she married that guy,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And then called him a sleazebag.
Well,
after that.
That's easy to do. But yeah, I don't know the personal relationship. I'm just saying harshly, she's extremely talented. And I adored Mariah Carey as, you know, a woman singing. But she was a product of the music industry. 100% almost ruled by men. Not 100%, okay, I'm exaggerating, but majority ruled by men. So a product, yes.
Let's move on to, okay, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion?
So did she write any of her songs?
You know what?
Does that matter?
I can't say. Yeah, I think it does matter, because it matters what the message and what, I mean, after all, songwriting is about expression, talking about what's happening, what you feel, what's affecting you, etc. If it only comes from a male perspective, yeah, then it's a problem, absolutely. Celine Dion, according to me, I'm sure she's made a fortune and she's improved herself in many ways,
but
she was a product.
But there were people affected by Celine Dion, I mean,
absolutely.
Especially the gay community, and
for
I
sure
mean,
that's why I don't want to take it away, and I'm sure their effects and what they spread out has had meaning. However, all I'm saying is she was a white woman, beautiful, you can't take that away. She was good looking, and they knew how to market that woman. Did she do anything for women rights, or women in per se, or women's mentality, or whatever?
Well,
no, she
no.
certainly didn't affect me in
she's
particular.
Back at Las Vegas now,
exactly,
having her, yeah, okay.
Rest my
and
case.
Okay, so then we got Donna Louise.
I don't know who it was.
Toni Braxton
product
in which way,
you know, one thing you gotta give her, she was black, she was a woman. Yes, I'm mentioning that, I hope I'm not offending in that sense, because for me that's a positive thing. You know, she was a big, big established artist, Toni Braxton. She certainly sold records, she certainly, but she was certainly not just doing it in another way that kind of meant female power in any particular sense.
So what I'm seeing is Toni Braxton, she's black, she's woman, she's moving the committing to something, she's moving the female force.
Yes.
Forward.
Important.
Isn't
yes,
that something?
I agree, but who has shaped it? That's what you got to look at. Take that versus the other female Afro-American act that you mentioned earlier, Tracy Chapman, who's on the list as well. Tracy Chapman, she did her thing. All cred in the world to Tracy Chapman. She certainly moved the barrier. If anyone did, she was the one, absolutely.
Everything but the girl?
Everything but the girl, Tracy Thorn.
Yeah.
Good point.
Also
amazing.
Wonder, but doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah, and more so.
But everything but
she's
the girl
still doing
started
music.
Started because of Everything But the Girl, the US also got part of UK.
Yeah.
Moex. Massive Attack, the whole trip-hop scene, so to say.
And of course, as we mentioned in the some previous episode, it was like the Todd Terry remix that put it on the charts,
exactly,
etc.
Yeah.
But it was also Ben Watt. We can't forget that. It was Ben Watt and Tracy Thorn. Tracy wasn't on her own. She had her husband.
No, but she was the front figure.
She was the front figure, absolutely.
Okay, so then we got... Oh, this is very interesting. Yeah. Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, I mean... Yeah. Comparing to what was happening in our country and especially UK,
we're
still in the peak of Oasis. They did their massive concert
and the laddish culture. Don't forget that it was all about the boys and the lads.
Yes,
that's what it was all about. Was
except
no space
for
women.
I mean, we got some exceptions. I gotta mention PJ Harvey.
Yeah,
I gotta mention Beth Gibbons.
Absolutely.
So there's some...
But it's easy, you know, I have to point this out. It's easy to make the exceptions. That means they are a minority just by making the exceptions.
The culture was primarily dominated. A few of these are, 50% of these artists are a product.
More than 50%, yeah.
But then we got... Okay, so back to Alanis Morissette. Yeah. She was a... She had a... She sold an amount of records.
Yeah.
I think it's 20 million.
Yeah.
Same amount as our Swedish counterpart. Mm-hmm. Not counterpart. Ace of Base.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then we got Whitney Houston. She's a product of someone else.
A product, and probably maybe that's why what's happened to her was because she was a product. But don't forget, they all had a very important part. I have to say that Toni Braxton, Whitney Houston, they all had an important part. But I don't know how much they were in control of that, you know, that kind of scene, you know, their music, etc. And I think that's what also made them, unfortunately, some of them had sad destinies.
But just looking at 96, and this was quite random, I just threw in 96, just doesn't mean anything.
No.
But we got a lot of female artists, and we got Jewel, R. Kelly, you're not you're not female. Mary J. Blige. Monica.
Big respect, Mary J. Blige.
And then we got TLC, for God's sakes.
Oh God, yeah, TLC. And what was the name? Aaliyah. Who got killed on the flight.
Yeah. And looking at the male perspective here, we got, again, Bone Thugs and Harmony at the top. And then we got LL Cool J. Sorry, that's a joke.
Yeah.
And then we got Goo Goo Dolls. Joke. R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm. R. Kelly,
His poor joke.
Loads of men.
And
loads
Coolio.
Of...
Yeah. Collective Soul. At number 44, I find the one male artist I can relate to. That is Smashing Pumpkin, and it's 1979. One of the best final grunge era tracks.
I think, however, what the point is with all this list that you're now counting is that primarily it's a list shaped by men. It's a list that provided female acts primarily the ones, you know, like Madonna, like, you know, etc., they had to adapt to a way that was shaped and formed by men, let's face it. Then I'm not saying it's 100% like that, and I'm certainly not saying it's there's no women, but, you know, the important is there was a limited amount of women that could make their voice heard in a proper way.
And I mean, labels, you know, want sales. That's basically,
exactly.
They want money.
Yeah.
And in 96, looking at the list, females were providing money.
Yeah.
But then again,
majority of them was provided by the shape and the vision, etc., of men, basically.
So let's move on to now.
Yeah.
So we got, I mean, we can, I don't want to get into this because this is a very, very broad discussion.
Yeah.
We got two very interesting comments on our site from Christy. She says, one cannot simply go on a YouTube channel of a popular female artist without finding at least dozen of sexist commentaries. On this fact is extremely concerning because most of women are getting slut-shamed for embracing their sexuality, whereas males are getting praised for showing their naked bodies in videos, live shows, etc. It goes beyond just the body image. It shows, in a way, women are being criticized too harshly by their physical appearances, end quote. So we're back in 2015, having left the 90s, and we are looking at YouTube comments, which is, I know that most of our listeners are thinking, yeah, we all know YouTube comments, we all know Twitter comments, we all know these things. Early teenage boys tweeting at famous people and throwing the most negative thing out there just to get some attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we've got the news media who are taking tweets and making a story out of it.
Yeah.
So right now we got Iggy Azalea. She's a hated artist. Madonna. She's being criticized for her actions against poor Drake. But then we got a good example here in Sweden. We got an artist named Robin. She got a prize from KTH,
the kind of Royal Technical School in Sweden.
And she had a day out with women teaching about the technical aspect about music.
Yeah.
Which is, I love the fact that it's not about a lot of bullshit PR stunts, whereas, yeah, female power and then basically not providing the tools to get out there.
Absolutely, and she's right. I think she's right. I have to quote to this now. According to the UK Music Producers Guild, this is not Swedish, UK, but Sweden is the same. I work with producers continuously here. 95% of record producers and sound engineers were male in 2014, basically. Now, that's an extreme high rate of male occupancy, basically.
So, I work with a lot of, a sort of a range of producers, and I've never work with a female producer or engineer. I work with female PRs, record label executives. So, and I've been ignorant, but I've never questioned it. I never thought about it. But why is that? Why aren't there a lot of music, female music producers out there?
There are some, and I have worked with some of them, but yes, they are the exception to the general, how it looks, basically. And I don't know. I wish I knew, because maybe it's just as simple as the culture and the sociological environment that we're in, where men are, you know, easier. If you look at stats for games, for example, like up till the year of 13, equally as many girls and boys play games, basically, at their computers at home. Mm-hmm. However, after that, it deviates. Women then go into social media and they use Twitter. Go into Twitter and use social media at a higher rate. Meanwhile, boys continue playing games. Now, has this got to do something about their interest in technology and IT and, you know, how they like to communicate more and be more with but more in social media and communicate with other people. I don't know. I mean, I think it's psychologically, it's a quite interesting thing that happens at that age.
Yeah,
you know?
Very, very.
And is that what affects us when it comes to then producing and taking part? Because production and sound engineering is primarily a technical job that's quite lonely. You know that. You are a producer.
But you've been working in this industry for a long time right now.
Yeah.
So how do you feel as a woman? Do you feel that you have to work more? Do you feel that, I mean, Björk has put it out there that she has to work 5 times as much as a male.
I think she put out that she has to, whatever she says, she has to say 5 times. Yeah. Meanwhile, a man says it 1 time and people listen. And I think she's got a very good point.
So do you feel that's the way you've been handled?
I shouldn't rack down. I don't want to do that to my colleagues, etc., because they're wonderful. Sometimes I have the feeling that perhaps I have to be louder than a man in order to get heard. You know, in order for people to listen, I have to say it a few more times.
You are already a loud person.
I'm quite loud as it is, you know, and I have to be. But maybe that's why I'm loud. You know what I mean? Maybe this job has shaped me to become quite loud person. Maybe if I'd done another job, like insurance company or something, I'd be a lot more silent. I don't know.
If you met a teenage girl and she said, I want to work in the music industry.
Yeah.
So, Louise,
I do.
What do you think will face me? What do you think will...
Yeah.
What do you think I will put up with?
Let's put it this. I had a young girl here the other day who was helping me out in the office because she wanted to have a look into the music industry. And she was a bit kind of, number one, I think she thought it was a bit boring when she left here. But she was also amazed over all the men that was here, more so than there weren't many women here in the office, you know. And I think I would encourage any woman out there to do it and do the job, but I would also tell them to be aware that it's going to be a bit of a journey for you, but a good challenge as well. However, you know, what I find the most interesting thing is that normally when I meet like young artists, really young artists who are not in any particular way, hasn't done much, but they got a talent, perhaps they got brilliant vocals or whatever. Most of the times when boys come in, they're like, they got it kind of already sorted, you know, they got the demos and they got it all done and they recorded it themselves in the bedrooms. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I've had women coming in here and they go, I haven't got anything recorded. However, I can sing for you, you know, in front of me. And I kind of keep thinking, wow, that would never happen with a boy. You know, he would have it already sorted,
but
you
then
know?
It's back to the Robin conference.
I so think that Robin is doing the right thing by encouraging women to take part of this. I keep going, well done, Robin. You are hitting the spot right on here, you know, because if we can take control more of the full process of making music. Can I make one reference, which I loved a series that went out in America. Mm-hmm. It was called Classic Albums.
Okay.
I love that series. If you haven't seen it, everyone out there, you got to see it, right?
We got a link to it in our show.
Absolutely. There is about 20, there's more, maybe more than 20. It's everything from Black Sabbath, Phil Collins, Deep Purple, The Doors, Duran Duran, Fleetwood Mac. They literally go in and talk about how the albums were made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super interesting,
and
you know.
How is that connected to
now? They go in and talk to the producers primarily.
Uh-huh.
There's not one female producer there.
Okay.
Not one. And I keep thinking, man, if I was 13 watching that TV series, it really wouldn't inspire me. You know,
okay.
It really wouldn't inspire me to learn the tools. You know, if I were 13 today again, maybe I would, you know, by looking at, but you need role models. I hate to say it, it's a cliche. But female role models are important. We need to see those female artists sitting in the studio instead of watching this cliche view. Have you seen, can you get the image I'm telling you now? You're in a studio, you see the technical engineer sitting by the desk, big desk, and you have a female in the booth. How many times have we seen that image?
Yeah, that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I would love to see a woman sitting in front of that desk.
But please, if you're a young girl working, want to work in the music industry,
yeah.
What's your advice?
Oh, God. If you're passionate enough about music, if you're that passionate, but trust me, it's gotta be on the basis that you can't do anything else because you have to work in music. It's what you love. You live and you breathe music.
That's separate from being a generation.
Absolutely. But yes, no, it's not separate because if you're gonna go through what you have to go through in order to be in the music industry, you're gonna have to have that belief, I think, you know, and you have to be certain that this is what you want to do, and then do it for sure. Go in, be tough, be hard. We are working under an industry that's shaped by men. Yes, we are. But, you know, I think also use, you know, what you have as an advantage as a woman. I'm not talking about sexuality or anything here, so don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about your point of view, the way you see it. Because that's interesting. You know, we are selling music to both men and women. We need a woman's point of view in this industry.
But what if you're a teenage girl and you don't have the looks?
Yeah,
you're overweight or you don't got the self-confidence, but you got this. You think that you got something. You got some creative side. You got something. You feel that you want to put out there. What's your advice to those girls?
Anything
being
that's
16 or 14 or. Is there any chance out there?
Absolutely. You're talking about actually an artist that you want to put out?
Yeah.
I say yes. Good music is good music. Yes, I mean, hey, you introduced me to Alabama Shakes. I can't stop listening to that band. I love that band. You know, there are plenty others out there. It's got, yes, we all know, it's not a gender issue here, as you mentioned. Looks are important. But in the end of the day, it's the music that counts, you know? We want to hear good music.
So, what's your best advice if you want to approach a label and you feel that you got your demo CD, you got your MP3s ready, and you got your letter ready? What else is there?
Do a cool introduction. A cool introduction that stands out from the rest. You know, whether it's via your email, via your Facebook page, via something, like make sure it stands out from the rest, basically. That's all.
And if you're a female artist out there and if you need our help, we're always listening if you got something. Or if you're a guy, most likely you are. First of all, thank you for listening to our discussion. Yeah. Thank you so much. That means a lot to us.
Yeah.
It's okay for once to bombard us with the demos and whatever you got.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Almost forgot, we usually publish a new episode once every 2 weeks, but this one arrived early because we needed to switch our schedule around. So instead of a 3 week delay, we made room in our very, very important lives to get you this episode out there. Also, a special thanks to everyone who writes us emails. It's so much fun. Last time around, I asked if someone had heard of the two UK bands, Kasabian and Ride. Actually lived in the States. And a few hours later, I got an email from Paren. He wrote in claiming he actually had. But Paren, I'm actually going to be strict on this one. You grew up in the UK and makes it a bit unfair. So I have to give it to David from Ohio, who also managed to name drop Hurricane Number One. Very impressive. So closing the podcast this time is a track from David's much-anticipated album from Todd Rundgren, Lindstrom, and Emil Nikolajsen.
see you guys in 2 weeks. Don't forget us to drop us comments, questions, whatever. podcast@theonlymusicpodcast.com. Take care, guys. Cheers.